as his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The idea of intimacy and closeness here is involved in the word my. David says he does not want for anything. He doesn't lack for anything. Everything that he really needs, any necessity, is provided. This is the word that's used to describe how God took care of the Israelites in the wilderness. He provided for them. Remember, he gave them manna from heaven. And he gave them enough for each day so that they wouldn't lack. He provided for them. But one thing that's really essential to know is that this provision, this God providing for us, is based upon our following the shepherd. If we turn over a few pages to the 34th Psalm, I want us to notice something. Psalm 34 and verse 10. 34:10. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Notice the condition? Those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So God providing for us is based upon us seeking Him, putting Him first, like Matthew 6:33 says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you. So it is based upon us following the shepherd. He says he provides a place for rest. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. The sheep get tired. And so the shepherd, part of his job is to make sure there is a place for them to rest. Of course, he might do this in a number of ways, but that was something he would do for the sheep. Make them a place to rest. In Ezekiel 34, there's a similar expression given there about God, the true shepherd, and how he provides for his people. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 14, in talking about God taking care of his people, notice what he says. I will feed them in good pasture, and their foals shall be in the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. See, that's what he does. He provides, and he provides a place of rest. He says this is green pastures. That's what he calls this, green pastures. The green alludes to the first tender shoots of grass that come up. It's the ones that are the tenderest, the easiest to eat. Today the Bible says that Jesus is the source of our green pastures. He's the one that provides the food for us. That's where we go. We go to Him. We don't look for it anywhere else. We go to Him. David says that the shepherd leads me beside the still water. The shepherd leads. The shepherd guides. The shepherd doesn't provoke. The shepherd doesn't push. The shepherd doesn't shove. He leads and he guides. Why does he do that? Because the sheep don't know where they need to go. They don't know where they need to go. This is the expression used for God leading his people to the promised land. In Exodus 15, Moses, when he wrote this down, told us about how God led the people of Israel to the promised land. Exodus 15, and notice verse 13. Exodus 15, 13. Now I'm having a hard time getting there. There we go. It says, verse 13, in referring to the Lord, you in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. See, he says, you do this in your mercy and you've guided them in your strength. They would have never made it to the promised land without the Lord. We're not going to make it to the promised land without the Lord either. The Bible says in Psalms 119, 105, that God's Word is a lamp to what? Our feet. It's a light to our path. It directs us. It shows us how to get to the promised land. He's left directions. He's left a guide for us. It says, He leads me beside the still waters. Sheep don't like rushing water. I was reading about that the past couple weeks. They don't like real swift rushing water. It needs to be calmer than that for them to drink. These are waters of rest and quietness. I don't know about you, but I really like the rest and quietness part. Because this world is a scary place. It's a lot scarier than when I was 10 years old. And I don't know if I just didn't know any better when I was 10 or if it's actually gotten scarier since I was 10. But it's a very, very different world. And so we do need these still waters, waters of rest, waters of quietness that refresh us. Because life can get very hectic. But we can go to the shepherd. We can go to him in prayer and tell him about all of our anxieties and all about our concerns and all of the things that are troubling us. We can go to him about all of them. And then we can read his word that tells us that he listens, that he cares, that he protects, that he provides. Listen to Revelation 7. I read these verses this afternoon and they were so appropriate. Revelation 7, we'll begin in verse 16. Revelation 7, and notice beginning in verse 16. It says, they shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, who is in the midst of the throne, will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. It's very similar, of course, to what he says in the first few verses of Revelation 21. What God is going to do. Still waters. It says, He restores my soul. I watch a lot of shows on TV about things being restored, whether it's old cars or old houses, whatever. I love those shows. And what do they do when they restore? They bring them back to the original condition, return them to the original state. He says He does that for our soul. Our soul here, it's the person's being. It's what makes a person. It's the essence of being in the image of God, the qualities of intellect, emotion, and will. That's what He does. He refreshes us. He restores us. And it's not found anywhere else. There are no other still waters where you will get that restoring, that refreshing. There's no other place to go. So people without God, without the Lord, they have no place to go for that. Which explains a lot about our world. It says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Sheep tend to wander off the path if no one's going to guide them. And it's easy for them to get lost. We sing that song about the 90 and 9. It's easy for sheep to get lost. Well, God's people do the very same thing. They can wander off. Usually they wander off because they're following some strange doctrine or strange teaching that deceives them. They think they're going in the right path, but they end up going on the wrong path. And so they end up getting lost. Remember at the end of the book of James, in James, the last two verses, 19 and 20, talks about if someone wanders from the truth and does what? And someone brings them back. See, that's what happens to Christians sometimes. They wander off the path just like sheep. We have to let God's Word lead us along the paths that are right, the paths that are correct. There are good paths and there are bad paths. Back a few pages to Psalm 17, another Psalm of David. Psalm 17 verse 5 says, "Uphold my steps in your paths that my footsteps may not slip." We have to listen to God and follow His lead, or our footsteps may slip. The wise man Solomon said something similar in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll begin reading in verse 26. The last two verses in that particular proverb says this: ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. You don't go off to the right-hand side. Don't go off the left-hand side, because that leads you off the path. And the only way we know we're on the path, again, going back to Psalms 119, 105, is let God's Word show us the direction. Without it, we're wandering in the dark. We have no idea where we're going if we don't follow God's Word. It shows us where the path to the promised land is. That's what we have to do. Well, back in Psalm 23, first of all, the shepherd provides. Now we see that the shepherd also protects. Verses 4 and 5. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Here's what the shepherd does. Not only does the shepherd provide, he also protects, provides peace in the face of peril. And again, we are faced daily with peril in so many different ways. The future is very uncertain. The future is scary in a lot of ways. Well, the psalmist here paints a picture of a dark, narrow gorge that hides dangers around every corner. And sheep get scared very easily. And so the sheep run away. Any little thing can spook them. And so the shepherd is there to keep that from happening. So as long as the shepherd is with them, they have that reassurance. They feel safe. And they're not skittish when the shepherd is with them. It's when they can't see the shepherd or know that he's there that all these little dangers scare them and cause them to run off. So the shepherd walks with them, and regardless of what kind of dangers there are, regardless of the perils, the sheep follow him because they trust him. The shepherd has been with them. They know they can trust him. Today we can feel alone, we can feel scared, we can feel helpless. There are paths of sadness and sorrow, paths of trouble and darkness. And sometimes it looks like around every corner is a source of danger. And that's the way the world looks. The psalmist says he can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't have to run. I mean, that's what we tend to do, right? When there's darkness and danger, we want to get through it as fast as possible. Well, the psalmist says he doesn't have to run through the valley of the shadow of death. He can walk through it without any fear of evil. In Isaiah has some words that are somewhat similar. In Isaiah 43, the prophet says this in verse 2. This is talking about how God will protect Israel. In verse 2 of the 43rd chapter, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. See, that's very similar to what David is saying about God back in Psalm 23. Knowing God is there comforts us. The shepherd's tools, the rod and the staff, two different things, but they had two different purposes, for protection and for rescue. So either way, they were there to help. They rescued us, they protect us from perils. In Psalm 119, that great chapter that deals with God's Word, notice how he applies that in verses 49 and 50 of Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verses 49 and 50. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. So this is the comfort I have in my trials and my troubles, my suffering, my affliction, is your word has given me life. That's what gives me comfort. That's what gives me that reassurance, is your word. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Prepares a place to eat even as the battle rages on. Of course, the sheep have a lot of natural enemies because the sheep are not predators in any way. So as a result, they have all kinds of enemies, big and little. God's people do too. We have all kinds of enemies, big and little. All kinds of things out there that can at times be terrifying. We do have a lot of enemies out there. But it says God prepares a table so we can sit in peace. We don't have to be terrified. In Psalm 27, just a few pages over from where we are, the first three verses of the 27th Psalm says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. It says, I don't have to be afraid and I don't have to fear because God is there. He has prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Yeah, there are times that can be very terrifying when it looks like the whole world is against us. And that's when we have to remember God is there. It says, you anoint my head with oil. What would happen at the end of each day? Each sheep would file into the fold in the evening. The shepherd would examine each one. Each one got their time with the shepherd. And he would look them over from top to bottom, front to back, to look for cuts and scratches and any type of injuries of any kind. And then he would apply some type of soothing oil to take care of the cuts or scratches or whatever it was. Our God knows every little thing about us. He knows every cut. He knows every bruise. He knows every injury. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. He knows when we get discouraged. He knows when we get anxious. He knows when we're tired. He knows when we're weary. He knows when we're suffering. He knows when we have anxiety. He knows all of those things. He's aware of all of that. The psalmist says in Psalm 45, verse 7, he says this. Psalm 45, verse 7. He says, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. I love how he writes that. The idea of anointing, the oil of gladness. God comforts us, and he does it in a myriad of ways. He comforts us with his word. He comforts us by the fact that he listens to our prayers and answers in the best way, and we know that. He comforts us through worship. He comforts us through other Christians. He uses all of those paths. And it says, the end of verse 5, my cup runs over. The shepherd would fill a bowl, a cup of water, to the very brim, so that when the sheep would stick its nose in, the water would overflow. So that there was never a lack of water. It wasn't just a little bit of water in the bottom of the cup, and then when it drank it, it was done. There was an abundance of water. The shepherd abundantly provided for the sheep. That's what the Bible says God does for us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says he provides immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. all that we ask or imagine. Our cup overflows. And finally, the shepherd provides, the shepherd protects, and the shepherd preserves. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. Things that are pleasant, things that are beneficial, things that are precious, things that are delightful, things that are right, things that are proper, things that are excellent. Those are the things that will follow me all the days of my life. Goodness. His goodness. In the 145th Psalm, almost toward the very end, that 145th Psalm is a marvelous psalm about God's goodness. Notice three verses there. Verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All His works. You can see His tender mercy in all His works. Then verse 15. The eyes of all look expectantly to You, and You give them their food in due season. You open Your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. That's quite a promise. His goodness. Of course, His goodness is seen in His love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's seen in His patience. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. And He ends by saying, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God's home, where the faithful will have intimate fellowship with Him forever. Remember in John 14, He says, "I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also." And of course, we enjoy a very small taste of this when we come together in worship. Just a tiny little inkling of it we enjoy. It's no wonder that God is called the Good Shepherd. He provides for us, He protects us, and He preserves us. The most important thing is for us to enter the sheepfold. Jesus spent a great deal of time, as we conclude, in John chapter 10, talking about the sheep, the shepherd, the sheepfold. And in John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, He says this. He says, "To Him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. And when He brings out His own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice." They know His voice. So when we listen to Him, we follow Him, we submit to Him, we obey Him, we enter the sheepfold. Now we can leave the sheepfold, the Bible says, if we desire. He doesn't force us to stay in the sheepfold. But if we desire, we can stay in the sheepfold. We can know that we're safe. As long as we continue to follow Him, walk in the light, confess our wrongs, we know what awaits us. That glory of the promised land. Tonight the question, of course, is, are you safe in the sheepfold? What a wonderful shepherd we follow. Tonight let's think about these things as we sing this song. Let us stand and sing this invitation song.